Going to start with this question. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning and purpose of your life or of my life? And if you would do a quick Google search, you could find a variety of answers to that question. But what do you believe? What is the purpose of life? There have been groups of Christians throughout church history that have put together some questions and answers that have tried to help us to think about what is really true. What does the Bible teach? What are the things that we should believe? And so one of these, a more recent series of questions and answers, begins with this one. And this is the question. It says, what is our only hope in life and death? And this is the answer that is given, that we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And where do we get this question and answer from? This is from Romans chapter 14. Paul wrote, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." This is purpose. This is meaning. This is our hope. As Christians, we belong to the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, he's going to use this kind of language in the verses that we're going to look at today in the letter to the Philippians. He wrote this, that as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And further to this is the joy that we can experience, that we should experience in knowing that we belong to Jesus. We do have reason for rejoicing in Christ because the good news of the gospel is continuing to spread. We want to make Jesus look great even as we grow in our trust of him. Our problem, though, is that we can lose sight of what our true hope is in our lives and in our death, actually who our true hope is, and that is Jesus. Because the circumstances of our lives, they can cloud out what is real and what is true and what gives us a reason to rejoice. So with God's help, we can be those people who are rejoicing in Christ because we belong to him. So this letter that Paul wrote, it's really an uplifting letter. Paul didn't have much to say in the way of what was going wrong in the church. He was really thankful for them. He had some things to say, but it's included in the Bible for us to be encouraged. And Paul, though, as he was writing this, he was in prison as he wrote this letter. He wanted to encourage the Philippians to live out their Christian lives and to do this with joy, yes, and also with unity. So let's read. You can see the verses there if you've got your Bibles or your phone. Scroll to Philippians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 12 together. Paul wrote this. He said, Philippians 1, verse 12. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, Now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. This is the word of the Lord. So this letter to the Philippians, it was written to the church. It was in the city of Philippi. This is located in northern Greece. Paul, on his second missionary journey, he established a church there. And we're going to come to this when we get to the chapter 16 in the book of Acts. We're going to resume our study in the book of Acts this fall. And this church, it was very dear to Paul. If you read this letter right through, you can see that Paul had great affection for this church. But 12 years later, Paul was put in prison in Rome. He was put on trial for his life. And during those in-between years, in those 12 years, Paul, he was supported by the church that met in Philippi. So again, he had a love for this church. They were supporting him more than any other church. And earlier we read in chapter 1 that this church had partnered with Paul in the gospel. So what is the gospel? That word is simply good news. How is it that we can relate to God? This is the good news. And this is what Paul had passed on to the Philippians, what they were partnering in with him. But here, Paul was now in prison because of this good news. But being in prison had caused this good news to even spread even more. And so what is this gospel? Well, the truth is that you and I, we need to be saved by something or by someone. And one author summarized the good news this way by encouraging us to answer these three questions. These are them. How am I saved? What am I saved from? And what am I saved for? So listen to these answers to those three questions. How am I saved? I am saved by grace. So that's a gift from God. It's through faith. It's through me believing in the wrath-absorbing death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and justified in his resurrection. So justified means to be made right with God. How are we made right with God? Through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was our substitute because we are sinful. We are rebels against God. How am I saved? Through the death of Jesus. What am I saved from? I am saved from a holy God. My sin deserves death. And so Jesus, God, rightly, from a holy God, from his righteous wrath poured out eternally on every sinner that has disgraced his glory. And what am I saved for? I am saved to have peace with God, to be holy, to be gathered with God's holy people who live and love, who magnify God, make much of him, treasure him above everything else, and enjoy him above everything in this world and in our next life with him in glory. What am I saved for? For his glory. So if we are to enjoy God above everything, then we do have reason to rejoice in Jesus. And the first way that we can do this that Paul has taught us is to say this, that I'm rejoicing in Christ when the gospel advances. So look again at verse 12. Paul wrote this. He said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And what had happened to Paul? He's saying, I was put in prison, but that did not stop the gospel. Even though Paul was in chains, the gospel could not be bound. What had happened to him was meant to silence what he was proclaiming, what he was sharing, but it didn't do that. The good news that we find in Jesus Christ was advancing. Is this surprising for us? We could ask Paul, well, Paul, how did you being in prison cause the message that you were spreading to advance? How did that happen, Paul? And Paul, he explains that for us in verses 13 to 17. First, the gospel was spreading inside the prison. And so the Roman guards that attended to Paul, he wasn't going to stop talking about Jesus. So he was telling them all about who Jesus was. The gospel was spreading inside the prison, but the gospel was also spreading outside the prison. Those who were followers of Jesus that knew Paul, they had a new boldness to share the message. In verse 14, Paul uses three words to describe how these believers were doing that. It says that they were confident, they were bold, and they were fearless. And so the gospel was advancing inside and outside of Paul's prison. Paul goes on then to give a few more details about how those preaching the good news, why they were doing that. And so some, they were motivated by a love for Paul. We love Paul and what he's preaching. We want to continue to preach that as well. They were doing these things for the right reasons. But others were selfishly motivated. Seems perhaps they were jealous of Paul and his ministry. Perhaps they thought that now that Paul was in prison, that they could have some of the spotlight that he seemed to have. And so they were preaching for the wrong reasons. But what did Paul think about that? It actually didn't matter to him. Whether they were preaching for the right or the wrong reasons, Jesus Christ was being preached. And that gave him joy. And so when the gospel advances, we have reason to rejoice in Jesus. Now, it's almost 70 years ago that the five missionaries who traveled to Ecuador with their families were trying to minister to the Auca Indians there in Ecuador. For the first time in history, to share with this people group about Jesus. And the names of these missionaries were Roger Udarian, Pete Fleming, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, and Ed McCulley. And they first made contact with this widely feared tribe, the Auca Indians. These people were deep in the Ecuadorian rainforest. This was 1955. They lowered down some gifts from an airplane. Nate Saint was the pilot. And they would make a tight circle so that this bucket that they let down that had some gifts in it, they were able to have the people get the gifts out of the bucket. They were up in the airplane. And that was their first contact with this tribe that was known for its violence. These people had never been contacted by the outside world. It was an exciting opportunity for the gospel to advance in this part of the world. Now, the Aucas, they not only received the gifts, but they became more accustomed to the plane going above them. But soon after Christmas, 1955, the group made one of their final flights to meet the people. But then on January 3rd, this was 1956, they landed on a sandbar next to a river, and they set up camp just near the Auca territory. They were waiting for an encounter with the people, and it was 3 days later that suddenly a few of the Aucas came out on the bank of the river opposite this sandbar, and one of the gentlemen, Jim Elliott, he walked through the river with his hand outstretched to let them know that he was there peacefully and wanting to visit with them. And so they did come and join with the missionaries. They had some food with them, got to visit with them, and then the little group left them and went back to their village. Now, when the visitors disappeared, the five friends, they could not contain their excitement. This meeting was what they were praying for. It was what they had longed for, what they had dedicated their lives to go be there in Ecuador for. But 2 days later, there was a final call from the pilot to his wife, and he said this, "Pray for us, this is the day." Those were his last words. Because on Sunday, January 8th, these five missionaries, they were speared to death. And this tragic death was only the beginning, actually, that the message of salvation spread not only to this tribe, but around the world because of what these men had dedicated their lives to. And with every confidence in the Lord, Jim Elliot's wife, Elizabeth, and Nate Saint's sister, Rachel, they ended up staying in Ecuador to continue the work that these five men had started with their families. So Elizabeth with her 10-month-old daughter, Valerie, plus Rachel, they stayed. And a turning point came when two of the women that lived in the Alca people's tribe came and left the tribe and talked with Elizabeth and Rachel. And this was a door opening for them to now go and be with the tribe. And that's what happened. They ended up living with the tribe for 2 years, and they taught them about Jesus, bringing them God's word. And this led to a radical transformation for the way of life that these people lived. And so just like the Apostle Paul's imprisonment, this was the way the death of these five missionaries served to actually advance the gospel. This is what God does. It doesn't make sense to us, but this is what God does. And not only Elizabeth and Rachel were bold to continue to spread the gospel, but others, through their example and through the example of these five missionaries, God has used them to bring salvation not only to the Alca people who are now called the Waudani, but it's also spread around the world. The impact can't be measured, actually. And maybe there are things that are happening to you that you're wondering, God, why is this happening to me? And maybe God is using this in your life to help spread the gospel. Those obstacles, those challenges, those hindrances may be the way that more people cross your path so that they could hear about Jesus, and that there's reason to rejoice even in difficulty. Now, Paul sharing this, this is him talking about what's happening to him currently as he writes this letter. He's in prison. The gospel's still getting out. But next, Paul's going to share just generally about his life. What is going to happen to Paul, whether he lives or whether he dies? So this is the next point. We can say, I'm rejoicing in Christ when he is honored in life or death. I'm rejoicing in Christ when he is honored in life or death. So look at the end of verse 18. Paul again says, yes, I will rejoice. I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus, that this will turn out for my deliverance. It's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Now in verse 19 there, Paul is speaking of his deliverance. Because of the prayers of the church and through the help of the Spirit. Another word for deliverance there would be salvation. Maybe you have that in your Bible. And we don't know exactly what Paul is meaning here. Would he be delivered from being in prison? Or was he just thinking in the ultimate sense that, yes, he would have eternal salvation with the Lord when he goes to be with Jesus? We don't know for sure, but we do know that Paul was going to choose to rejoice no matter what, whether he is freed from prison or whether he would meet his death. He was going to rejoice. And Paul wanted Jesus to be honored in his life, whether in life or in death, no matter what was happening to him. And again, as I read that first question, what is our hope in life and death? These are similar words that Paul is here writing in Philippians, similar to what he wrote in Romans 14. Not only do we belong to God, but we're to bring honor to him in our life and in our death. And that word honor, we could use other words, magnify, we exalt, we lift up, we glorify the Lord. We want to make God look great through our individual lives. And then verse 21, this great summary that Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live. Paul is serving Jesus. He's rejoicing in Jesus, and he's willing to do this until the end. Even if he dies, which would be better for him, he's going to rejoice with Jesus in life or in death. The next few verses explain what Paul means when he says to live is Christ. So look at verse 22. Paul says, if I'm to live in the flesh, he's really saying, if I'm going to stay alive, that's going to mean for me fruitful labor. So the things that I'm doing, there's going to be fruit from that. There's going to be a good result if I'm going to keep living. Verse 24, he continues, to remain in the flesh, again, to be alive, it's more necessary on your account. So he's saying to his brothers and sisters there in Philippi, he's saying, for your sake, I want to remain in the flesh. And that, for me, is to live is Christ, to continue to serve him. It was to their benefit for him to continue to serve the Lord. And this is how each one of us can live as a servant for our Lord. He is our King and we are his servant. And we're going to see as we get into chapter 2 of Philippians that Jesus is our example of what a servant is. And so we humbly serve him from our hearts out of love and thankfulness. Now the second part of that verse 21 says that to die is gain. This is what Paul said. Now we don't know exactly how Paul ended up dying. We do read in 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy is the last letter we believe that Paul wrote, and he wrote this in the last chapter of that little letter. He said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And so based on what the Bible tells us about Paul's life, we can be assured that he probably had an end to his life sharing the good news of the gospel. And it's possible that also during the time that perhaps Paul died is that also the apostle Peter was killed for his faith because there was persecution against the Christians. And so the tradition is that Peter was crucified upside down. He didn't want to be crucified in the same way that his Lord was, but that Paul was beheaded because Paul was a Roman citizen and Roman citizens were not normally crucified. And Paul wrote here, he said, to die is gain. Look at verse 23 in the middle. It says, Paul said, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, to be with Jesus. That is our deepest longing, our greatest desire, our greatest satisfaction, that we would be with Jesus. And so Paul could say that for him, that would be gain. And so Paul here, he's wrestling, he's torn between remaining in this life, serving the Lord, serving the people in the church, or being with Christ through death. But in all of this, Paul is rejoicing. Why? Because Jesus is honored in his life or in his death. And we praise his holy name. I spent years listening to Christian recording artist Toby Mac. Anybody else here listen to DC Talk in the 90s? Oh, maybe five of us. Toby Mac did have tragedy touch his family's life when his son, Truett, died at the age of 21. This was in October 2019, and he died of an accidental drug overdose. This obviously rocked Toby Mac's world and also his family, but out of that, we've benefited from songs that he's written through that time of tragedy. I was listening to an interview just this week about Toby talking about this, and he talked about joy, and he used this verse from Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord could have called lives and about our death. Paul was continuing to rejoice. He wanted Jesus to get the honor in his life, whether by life or by death. Either way, Paul was rejoicing. He was filled with joy because he could say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so do we believe that in our hearts? God is with us. We belong to him. So whether we live or whether we die, we have reason for joy. So Paul wanted to reassure the church, though, that he would stick around, that he would be with them and possibly see them again. And so we can say this with Paul, I'm rejoicing in Christ when trust in God grows. And we can see that in each other. We can see that in those around us, and we can see that in our church here. The last two verses of our passage, verses 25 and 26, Paul said, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So Paul was convinced that he would remain, and his hope was that he would see these dear brothers and sisters that lived in Philippi. And he wanted to see their progress, their joy in the faith. He wanted their faith and their trust in God to grow. Because the truth is that life is hard. We know that. But there is joy in trusting God and seeing that faith grow. Somebody gave this definition of faith. They said, faith is the confidence or trust that we put in a person who has given us cause to think that he is reliable and is able and willing to help us in our need. So has Jesus given you confidence that he's reliable, that he's able, that he's willing to help you through whatever you're going through? You can ask him. You can reach out to him. You can find that he is worthy of the trust that we would give him because he's faithful. I've mentioned this before, but there is a group of men that meet on Wednesday mornings. Not everybody's able to be there with us men, for sure, but we say this, we love Wednesdays. It's a time where, as men, we can share together the ups and downs of life. We can experience what Paul says here, the progress and the joy in faith. We rejoice together through Jesus. We grow in our trust of God. And we have an opportunity. Again, this is Wednesdays at 9:30. If you're able to join us, you'd be more than welcome. We have an opportunity to pray for each other, but we also pray for the needs in our church family here. And there have been individuals that have asked us to pray for specific things that we're honored to do so that together we can rejoice in Christ because our trust in him grows as we do that. And I know that in this room and those who are listening online, there is trust in God that is growing, and that's because of difficult things that we're going through. But we can rejoice in those things. This is not superficial. This is not just, Passover and things are okay. There are real things that we're going through. There are difficulties that require us to trust in a loving Heavenly Father. And so may the development and growth of that trust cause us then to have joy in him. And so together, let's live with this purpose and meaning, rejoicing in Jesus. And we can do this because we belong to him. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. And we can spread this message of hope to other people in our lives, just like those five missionary families, and for the good of others in our lives. And I would say, if you don't know this Jesus, if you would wonder, well, how could you have joy, when people lost their lives? Or how could you have joy, in this circumstance? If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't trusted him for that rescue for yourself, may you understand that there is a God, and that God has welcomed us to relate to him, and that is through Jesus Christ. We're going to close our time by singing one more song, Rejoicing in Christ, together with the team that will come up. But if you are finding it difficult to rejoice, I just want to encourage you to talk to somebody. We do have Stephen ministers that have been trained to come alongside and care for others. So if you are going through difficulty, please reach out to somebody here today. We would love to pray for you and come alongside you in that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have these words in the Bible that remind us about your goodness, that, Lord, what you are doing in this world, it will advance and it will grow, and nothing can stop that. Nothing that we're facing in our lives, nothing that's happening in our world certainly could stop the spread of this good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you're continuing to do that in our community and around the world, and we're thankful for that. That gives us reason to rejoice, even in tragedy, even in situations where it seems hopeless, that the gospel is advancing. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that you would help us. Lord, for those who don't know you, may they trust you for salvation alone, that they would come to you humbly, recognizing that our sin separates us from you and that we need a Savior, not only for living this life, but also for a future when we do die, that we would go to be with Jesus. And Lord, I pray for our church family, that you continue to help us as we grow, trusting you, loving you, reaching out to you. And thank you that we're here doing this together. We honor you. You are our hope and our joy. And I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.